Last week and this week, we heard of the recruitment stories of a number of disciples. And we heard a little bit about their occupations and what they'd been up to. And we saw and we heard of Jesus going out and asking them to follow him. So this week and next week, we have a couple of parishioners each week. We're going to talk a little bit about their stories, a little bit about how they became disciples as well. And so we're going to begin with Brad Montgomery, who's going to tell us a little bit about his journey.
Thank you, John. And thank you, all of you. My name is, as John says, Brad Montgomery. I have been attending services here almost 3 years now. Started a couple of Easters ago. And I have to tell you, it has been a wonderful experience. Everyone has been so kind, so friendly. Just a couple of quick examples. Peter, when the choir is here, he made it very clear that everyone is welcome at choir. And really, how is he to know that there are people in this town that will pay me not to sing? So, no, and I won't comment it on it other than that's money well spent, just so you know. And I'm also very happy that we have a band here. This is fantastic. And you know, okay, it's obvious that some of them are still living that rock and roll lifestyle, yes. But they're here so many Sundays making this a better experience for us. And thank you very much, all of you. I really appreciate it. And I have to tell you, all the rest of you, I didn't know before I started coming here to services that you folks are doing so much for not only for the congregation, your friends, but you're doing it for the community and the bigger community as well. I know you're doing it. You're not doing it for praise or anything like that. But having talked to some of the people that your work has helped, I can only say from the bottom of my heart, thank you, all of you. You're making a real difference to these people and these families. So thank you all, and know that you are appreciated for all that hard work that you do. So thank you. Just get started with this story. I work for the federal government, and a couple of years before COVID hit, I was actually quite blessed to be able to manage a team of administrative provincials while we supported a group of executives. And you can just imagine, these people are making 3-4 times what we are making, and they come to us when they have a problem. You guys figure that out. But I was blessed to have a marvelous team when I was doing this. And of course, things progressed, and then the pandemic came along, and we still connected, but of course, we didn't see each other very much and stuff. But in November of 2022, I got a call from one of my team members, and she said, "Brad, we haven't seen each other for a long time. How about we get together and have a coffee?" And I said, "That's great." So we decided to meet one Friday afternoon at a Timmy's near us, and we sat down, we started talking, and she said, "Brad, I have to tell you, it's almost my 5-year anniversary of being cancer-free. This is not something that I wanted to remember at all, but about 3 months into our little assignment there, she contracted cancer, a rare and actually very deadly form of cancer. And to hear that she was 5 years cancer-free, or almost 5 years cancer-free, was absolutely fantastic. And we got to talking again. And then she stopped and she said, "Do you remember that day that you and I went into a boardroom? And honestly, I don't know about you, but I don't remember how long we were there. And that's another day I wish I didn't have to go through." That morning, her and her husband were talking to the cancer nurse at the cancer center, and she was explaining the tremendous amount of chemotherapy and other services that she would have to do to hopefully beat this cancer. And one of the things, unfortunately, she had to tell her was that she, after taking these treatments, she probably would never be able to have a child. She was 28 years old at that point. So honestly, I do remember her that day. As I said, I can't remember whether we were there for 15 minutes or 3 hours. I honestly don't know. But I do remember eventually she got up, she patted me on the shoulder, and she left. And I didn't see her again for another 3 months. After overcoming this memory, she took my hand and she looked me in the eye and she said, "Brad, I'm 15 weeks pregnant." And I, of course, freaked out. Okay, I jumped up, I hugged her. I hugged the lady in the booth next to us. I hugged a guy who was waiting for his coffee, but he seemed to appreciate it, so that was okay. But I of course, really, really freaked out. I didn't do anything for the rest of the day. I called people that we used to work with and told them the good news. She allowed me to do that. It was fantastic. And thank the Lord, I am able now to tell you that in May of last year, Abigail Grace was born, and mother and daughter are doing fantastic. So that is my story, and thank you very much for letting me tell this story. I love to do it. I do it a lot, but it's just something that I hope you appreciate even half as much as I do. Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you, Brad, for sharing that story. Our second speaker this morning is Kevin Pickett, and he's going to tell us a little bit about his story.
John. Just to let you know, Brad, you might not be able to sing, but they normally put me in a little room at the back. Just saying. The dictionary has two definitions of epiphany that I grabbed out. The first is the manifestation of Christ, the Savior of the world. I'll get to the second one in a minute. To situate this part of the story, my family lived in Rome for 6 years when my father was working with the embassy. Imagine my family visiting the Vatican and entering the Basilica, excuse me, not for the first time, but we had been there for a few. My sister was 8 and I was 6 years old. We'd been wandering for a time when an older gentleman approached and chatted with our parents for a few minutes. My sister and I found out years later that the gentleman had asked my parents if he could show us around the various areas of the basilica. Well, off we went with my parents in tow, the fellow acting as guide and a running commentary through the whole thing, describing the stained glass windows, who was represented in them, an area that was set back as a chapel for Mary, and many, many more. When we eventually made it back around to the front doors, the man turned and pointed. There before us was the Pietà, the sculpture of Mother Mary, Madonna, holding the lifeless body of her son, Jesus. Well, I was stopped in my tracks. I saw, and then I stared. to a six-year-old, this was the manifestation of Christ. We live not far from the Vatican, and many times over those years, we would come down, and my father and mother would sit on the stairs, and my sister and I would play around the fountains. And we didn't go into the basilica all the time, but any time that we did, I stopped and stared again at that sculpture. And I never really did lose that feeling. Later on, just by coincidence, for another 6 years, I was in Germany. And I went back to Rome or Italy every other year. I never turned down the chance to go to the Vatican, walk in, and stand again in front of that sculpture. And the years fell away, and I became that six-year-old all over again and felt that joy. The second definition that I pulled out of the dictionary is epiphany, an illuminating realization, often resulting in a personal feeling of elation, awe, or wonder. So, getting closer to today, Shelley and I have been attending here at St. Helens for 7 years now, and we've been on a wonderful, wonderful spiritual journey. My background over the years is that I've attended church, but I've never really been involved in the workings of the church, not the way Shelley has been. But coming to St. Helens, I began to feel a slow, steady drive that I had to do something. I wasn't sure what, but I followed that drive, and I've become part of several of our community ministries. I've become involved in theological studies at two different institutes. Participating in these and learning has allowed me to get to know the congregation, expand my knowledge of the liturgy, but I still had that feeling that something was still ahead of me. One Sunday, I don't recall exactly when, it came to a head when I was to lead the prayers of the people, as I had times before. I walked up to the lectern, I arranged my notes, took a deep breath, and looked up. I realized that I was at home. These are my people. This is my microphone. I'm amongst fellow worshipers, friends, believers in Christ. And at the same time, it came to me in a flash that the Spirit has yet more waiting for me, another something, another journey. And this knowledge came to me directly, noetically, an experiential cognition, leaving me a feeling of elation, awe, and wonder, where am I going from here?
Although not banished. So thank you, Kevin. It seems to me that we've heard two completely different stories, and yet there's some things that link them together. In this Epiphany season, following the Feast of the Epiphany, we can still think about the star and that star that was calling the wise men to something new, something different. When they were filled with awe and with wonder as well. Although these stories are different, and all of our stories are different, yet they all share that feeling of there being a revelation, of there being an epiphany, to use maybe the non-church term for a second, where we have an understanding of ourselves, of the world, of God, that suddenly comes to us. There are lots of these epiphany stories. They don't happen every day to every person, but they happen over time. I invite you all to take a moment or so to reflect upon epiphanies that you may have seen or felt or heard that have drawn you closer to God, closer to a life of faith.